Greetings to you, and thank you for tuning in to the Joy of Discovery today. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and I want to welcome you to our radio program that is brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. We are currently in a study of the book of Revelation, and if you have your Bible, you can open up to Revelation chapter 22. We will get there in just a moment. Before we get to that study, though, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. Lord, we are truly blessed here in the United States of America. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to open up your word today, the freedom to be able to broadcast it across the airwaves. Lord, as we look into your word today, we ask that you would give us wisdom and insight, illuminate your word, allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts, to encourage the believer, to convict the unbeliever, and bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. So take our message today, we pray, and use it for your honor and your glory. May it go out in your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And as I said, you can open up to Revelation chapter 22, if you would. That is where we are going to be. We are in talking about the eternal state. This is part 7. It's kind of sad because we're working down towards the end of the book of Revelation, and it's been such a good study, to be able to look, especially in the day and age in which we live in. It would be kind of interesting to back up and go over it again, work our way through, because things are changing every single day. They're changing at a rapid pace. And so there's always something that is connected to our day that is occurring that also connects with the scriptures as far as biblical prophecy goes. And so it would be interesting to go back through again, but I don't know what we will do. We may move on to something like a study of the book of Romans and work our way through Romans, whatever. Wherever God leads, that's where we'll go. But today, we're going to return to our study of Revelation, and we're going to finish our look today at the eternal state. Before we get to where we're going today, I want to do a quick review to bring us all up to where we're at in this study. This is for my benefit as well as for yours. In Revelation chapter 21, John introduced us to the eternal state, which is the place of our eternal home. Let me remind you of something. This world is not our home. This isn't. The United States of America is not our home if we know Christ as Savior. We're just pilgrims here. We are strangers here, as Peter says to the people that he wrote to that were under the Roman Empire. The same is true with us. We are moving on to something greater and far more, I should say, satisfying. And that doesn't even, those are not the right words. Words don't describe what awaits us. But let me get you back to Revelation. At the great white throne judgment, the earth that we now live on will be completely destroyed. And it will be following this judgment that God will create a new heaven and a new earth. This earth will not be renovated, as some teach, but it will be completely destroyed. Revelation 21:1 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So I think it's crystal clear that there's a new heaven and a new earth, and this one is passed away. It doesn't say cleansed and purged. It says passed away. Isaiah 65:17 says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Isaiah 62:22 says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So those are just a few verses that support the fact that this world will be destroyed. And I believe you and I personally believe this, that we will be privileged and blessed to be able to see a new creation brought about and see God speak that into existence. Now, just in case there are those that doubt the destruction of this earth, let me remind you of the words of Jesus in Matthew 24:35. He says this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I think that solidifies it right there. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So I don't think there's any room for a renovated earth. I think you have to look at that verse and say this, that this world will go away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and that's where we will live. Then as John moved on to Revelation 21, he took us to the capital city, New Jerusalem, coming down to the earth. Then starting at verse 9, John presented the exterior details of the capital city where we will spend all eternity. Let me give you a couple points about that, if I could, six of them. The city, John said, was like a jasper stone. That means it'll be like a diamond. The city will be 1,500 miles cubed. That's high, wide, deep. 1,500 miles in a diamond cube. The city will be surrounded by a wall which has 12 gates, each made of a giant pearl. Number four, the wall has 12 foundations made from beautiful stones. Number five, God will dwell in the midst of the city and his glory will be unveiled. Number six, his glory will lighten the city and it will reflect through every one of the stones in a myriad of colors. And so that city will be far more spectacular and beautiful than our words could ever begin to describe. This city will be full of memorials reminding us for all eternity of God's so great salvation. Last week in our study, we stepped into Revelation 22, and in the first five verses, John gives to us the details of the interior of the city. First of all, we looked at the river. Watch Revelation 22, verse 1. It says this, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. This river flows directly out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is the water of life which Jesus promised we would drink of in the eternal state. Revelation 21:6 says, and he said unto me, it is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So you and I will drink of that water. That'll be a water that will be a satisfying water, far beyond anything that we can begin to imagine. So we looked at the river, we looked at the tree of life. Watch 22:2. It says, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Not only will we drink of the water of life, but we will also eat of the tree of life. Now, let me read for you what Jesus promised to the church at Ephesus. In Revelation 2, verse 7, he said this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So partaking of the water and of the tree for all eternity will keep us completely dependent upon God forever. That's the way God wants us to be. This tree of life existed in the Garden of Eden. We can assume that Adam and Eve may have ate of that tree before the fall. Genesis 2, 8, 9, and 15 through 17 says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, or mayest freely eat. Eating of the tree of life would have kept Adam dependent upon God, but then he chose independence, and he ate of the forbidden fruit. We will eat of the tree of life for all eternity, as we shall forever be dependent upon our Lord. The leaves here are most likely to enhance the fullness of life in the eternal state. The word healing is the word we get therapeutic from. So most likely they will be there to enhance life. That brings us to the internal details of the heavenly city, part two. Number three, now we didn't look at this last week, but this is where we're at this week. Number three, there will be no more curse. Watch 22:3. And there shall be no more curse. Let me read all the verse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. In order to understand the blessing that awaits us, I think we need to understand what the curse entails today in the purpose of the curse. Genesis chapter 3, 16 through 19, whenever God was pronouncing the judgment upon Adam and Eve because they had sinned and ate of the forbidden fruit, here's what it said in verse 16 of Genesis 3. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou shalt return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So the effects of the curse coming into the world, things that did not exist before the curse brought in the world, a list of them would be pain and childbirth. There was, if there would have been children born before that, and there were not, because then they would have been born without a sin nature. So they were, there was no, Cain and Abel were not born until after the fall, which kind of tells us most likely the fall happened within about a week of creation. Because if you remember, after Eve was created by God, that the command to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth. So because there was no sin, they would have been obedient to that. And because there was sin had not yet been in the world, so she would have conceived the first time they came together. And she does not conceive until Genesis chapter 4, and the fall is in Genesis chapter 3. So most likely that fall happened very quickly after creation. So there was pain and childbirth, going back to the thought again. There would be conflict that did not exist before. There would be sorrow. There would be pain. There would be suffering in labor. There would be monotony with work. There would be, in anything we do, there would be aging. There would be deterioration, death, disease, sickness, harmony gone between man and animals, harmony gone between animals. Earthquakes and volcanoes, that's the earth groaning, severe weather. So that's the part of the curse that we experience today, those things. The pain, the conflict, the sorrow, the suffering, the monotony, the aging, deterioration, death, disease, sickness. No harmony between man and animals. You can't go out and, I mean, you could, but not advisable to go out and pet a lion or to pick up a rattlesnake or anything of that sort. Harmony between the animals gone. You see animals kill one another all the time now. The earth is groaning, earthquakes, volcanoes, severe weather. That's what we're under now. But in this eternal state, much of the curse will be, well, let me back up. In the millennial kingdom, much of the curse will be removed. In the kingdom of Jesus Christ, his 1,000-year reign. But death will still exist in that kingdom. So all of the curse will not be gone. There's something else to consider about the curse, and that was the purpose of the curse. I'll get to that in a moment. Let me say this. before I get ahead of myself. In the millennial kingdom, after the tribulation, when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom and we rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, a lot of the curse will be reversed. The aging, I think, will be reversed. The harmony between the animals and between man and animals, that'll be reversed. So a lot of the curse will be taken away, but death will still exist. People will die in the millennial kingdom. Capital punishment will be carried out in the millennial kingdom. But in the eternal state, all of the curse is taken away. So there won't be any more pain or conflict or sorrow or suffering or monotony or aging or deterioration or death or disease or sickness. There won't be any of that. That's what verse 3 says. There shall be no more curse. Now, back to the purpose of the curse. God did not put this world under a curse in Genesis chapter 3 because he longed to see us suffer. That was not the reason. Genesis 3, 16 and 17. Listen to the verses again. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat it. Cursed is the ground. Now listen to this. For thy sake. For thy sake. Interesting. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. I'm going to say something that a lot of people will not like to hear, but it is the truth, and that is the curse was given for the good of man. Curse is the ground for thy sake. Let me explain this. When sin entered into the world, man was separated from God. Each of us are born sinners, and so we're born separated from God. And I can assure you that from birth, we are going further and further away from God, if that would be possible. We are distancing ourselves from God. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So before salvation, God doesn't even hear our prayers. They go no higher than the ceiling of the room that we are in whenever we pray. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says this, speaking of our past, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So before salvation, we were dead in our sins. The Bible's very clear about that. The word death means separation. So that means we were separated from God. So we are born separated from God, and because we are born sinners. We are born sinners. So God places the entire creation, the entire world, under the curse. So there, under the curse, we experience pain, we experience sorrow, we experience depression and conflict and tears and disease and death and emptiness. This was all designed to help us to see, listen to me, our need of a relationship with God. You understand that? Cursed is the ground for thy sake, God said. You're going to have pain. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have conflict. You're going to have tears. There's going to be disease. There's going to be death. There's going to be monotony. There's going to be an impossibility of finding satisfaction in life. Because God says, I want these things to drive you to your knees. I want these things to make you long for a relationship with me, because you are born into sin and you were born going away from me, and I want you to come back. And so because I want you to come to me and I want you to accept my son as your savior and I want to have a relationship with you, cursed is the ground for thy sake. These things are designed to bring you to me. Listen, I've seen people who were diagnosed with terminal illnesses come to know Christ as their Savior. I've seen people come to Christ because of conflicts in their life. I've seen people come to Jesus because they were approaching death. I've seen people, because of the struggles of life, reach out to God and accept His grace, come into a relationship with Him. So the curse is a good thing in that sense. It was designed to make us long for God, because we can find nothing in this world that'll bring satisfaction and contentment and peace. Remember what Solomon said in his... Solomon did an experiment back in Ecclesiastes. He recorded it. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Verses 3 through 11, he said, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. So he tried to party life. Yet acquainting my heart with wisdom to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. So he had all these possessions. He said, I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house, and also had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. So he had all these servants to wait on him. He had the easy life. He goes on to verse 8. He said, I gathered me silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and in the provinces. And I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and all that sorts. That refers to his entertainment and to the fact that he had more than 1,000 wives. Verse 9. So I was great, and increase more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever, listen to this, whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of all my labor. You see what he said? He said, look, whatever I wanted, I got it. And he had the money to do it. He was the king. He had the money. He said, then I looked, verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And he says, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Vanity means emptiness. Vexation of spirit means trying to catch the wind in your hands. So what he's saying is this: to find fulfillment and satisfaction in those things, he said, I found out it was all emptiness. And he said, you stand a better chance of catching the wind in your hand, which is impossible. And he's saying it's the same way with the stuff of this world and with the things of life and with human relationships and with entertainment and the party life and possessions and money, gold and silver, whatever. He said, I don't care what you try. He said, there's no satisfaction. That's the result of the curse. That's the result of it. It doesn't matter what we get, what we attain. You know as well as I do, after a while, it gets old. And the next thing you know, there's something else you want. You can never get that one thing that you say, okay, after this, I won't want something else. Because that one thing gets old. And the next thing you know, you want something else. And you go from one thing to another. So the curse keeps us from being fulfilled apart from God. Watch 22:3 again. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You want to know why the curse can be removed in this eternal state? It's because there will be no more separation from God. We won't go away from him anymore. We will forever be in his presence. So we will experience fulfillment every second of eternity. Listen to what I'm going to say. You can't begin to fathom what that's going to be like. There will be no more emptiness. There will be no more dissatisfaction. We will be forever content and satisfied because we will be forever with our Lord. Forever with our Lord. Watch verse 3 again. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. That's interesting. We will be given a work to do. And this will be a service for the Lord. We're not going to go to heaven and sit on a cloud and play a harp for all eternity. That's not what we're going to do. Get rid of that cartoon theology. We will be assigned a service, and this service will be so joyful. There will be no monotony in the work whatsoever. Have you ever done a service of some sort, some kind, whatever it might be, and just had that great feeling of satisfaction? It doesn't last. It doesn't last, but you, for a little bit, you've completed something, and for somebody or whatever it might be, and there's that feeling of satisfaction, that done feeling. You know, I'm done with that. I did that. I did what I was going to do. And so you have that satisfied feeling. Take that times probably a billion. Watch verse 4, if you would. It says this, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We will look on the face of God for all eternity. For all eternity. Verse 5 says this, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's what awaits us. That's what awaits us that know Christ as Savior. A world with no curse, a life with no curse. I'm out of time. But I want to say this before I close. That you, if you don't know Christ as Savior, this isn't for you. The opposite of this is the lake of fire, outer darkness. If you ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our radio program, CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Include the date of the program you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we see you in church, we meet you around the radio. Might you have a blessed week.